You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you on our Friday morning get-togethers out here. And you tell me it's raining and windy out your way, and I'm here, and we got a bit of sunshine coming through the clouds to the south of us. So,
well, you're on Point Grey, which sticks out into the ocean, so
yeah.
You get nicer weather. I'm in the valley a little bit in New Westminster.
So I'm as far west as you can get in the city, and stand-up condominium tower in the 17th floor. I think it's 20 floors altogether, and then it's about 1,000 feet to the cliff where there are evergreen trees, and then it drops down a few hundred feet to the ocean.
And Bob, you do those stairs every day, all 17 floors, right?
Oh, not just the stairs in the building, but the stairs down to the ocean and back again.
Oh, good for you. Bob, my question today is, do we usually see a stock market rally like the current one after a presidential election, no matter whether they're a Democrat or a Republican?
Yeah, there are guys who would do the statistics on that, and I can't remember the results. But what you've had is the Trump presidential win was big, really big, and his coattails were extensive, so it was also major for the Republicans, so it was a big election. But like a lot of these things, you know, the stock market can at times be very sophisticated. So I didn't get all excited about it as far as the market goes, that it's in the market. And it's quite likely a Trump and a Republican win, which we got. So now the struggle is and will be for Trump to get his policies introduced into the government, and there's, of course, you've got the whole of the big state government, who always want to have a yet even bigger government. The whole of that apparatus is really very concerned about losing power, but I think that he's going to end up with a pretty good cabinet, and I think they're. He knows the pitfalls from previous where he was in the White House and found that very few in the White House were on the mission to reform government. So I think we're at the start of a very good reform. It'll be very healthy for individuals and the economy. But the problem is we have been on a fantastic boom that has nothing to do with who's in office. I mean, most of the boom was in the last few years was when the Democrats were in office. So this is what we have to deal with. And what we've been looking at is seasonal rallies in a year. And, of course, we had the one looking for strength into mid-year. And, my God, we had that. And then there was the whole Magnificent Seven thing, plus some individual stocks then that really did go straight up. And at the time, we noticed that, hey, things going straight up are a sign of excessive speculation, and that maybe that was, for that department, was the best for the year, and calling the failure is the next stage. And often you can get a nice rally into September, and this one just keeps going. So another phenomenon is that you can get something big time like silver in 1980. You can set important highs in January. I think January 21st it was for silver of 1980. Then in 1973, it was the S&P. I think it was September the 10th. Now that crash for silver that followed the 1980 high was something else again. And then the crash in the stock markets following the 1973 high was very prolonged. I mean, you had the final clear out in November, December of 1974. And then it took many, many years after that, many years, decades, to break even from if you had a bought at the high. So it's one thing to be invested in equities when they're flying, and sometimes it's not just sane to be in there following when they've been enraptured and gone straight up. So our advice is to take some money off the gambling table. And if you go to commercial deposits or CDs or T-bills, the short-dated instruments are going to go down to zero again, zero interest rates. And, of course, the Fed will follow with Fed funds. But at any rate, so T-bills rates set their high a few months ago and actually are trending down. And this is your worst nightmare. So for investors, then, you want to have some coupon income with not a hell of a lot of price volatility. So we figure the 3 to 4 year good grade corporate bonds, you're going to get some return. And if they're maturing in 3 or 4 years, the price whipsaws won't be that bad at all because they'll be maturing at par. So, hey, I think it's even a nice position for normal equity traders. I'm very strong on this position. Three to four year good grade corporates. Now, for Canadian investors, if you do the work and you have to deal with an investment group that have the ability to get U.S. corporates, but if you got the same thing, 3 to 4 year U.S. good grade U.S. corporate bonds, then over the next few years, you're going to pick up on the likelihood of the Canadian dollar continuing to be weak relative to the U.S. So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds there. It may not seem like an exciting position, Jim, but it is a practical position that'll give you some income.
Now, when it comes to sheer speculation with no assets behind it, Bitcoin has skyrocketed since Donald Trump was reelected as president. That ride continue, or is it setting itself up for a disastrous crash because it's rising so fast, so high? Nearly $100,000 as we speak right now.
Oh, yeah. No, we're monitoring this for technical excesses. That's what we do. And we've got two means of measuring technical. One is like upside exhaustion when it comes in, and that is by its name is momentum-based. And then we have another one that gives at highs or lows, gives a sequential. So we're looking for a sequential sell, and that's based upon pattern. So we've got the two tools here based upon momentum and pattern, and we're looking for a top when this thing gets totally overcooked. And then the next step, as I said, is to figure out a time when it's likely to get overcooked. And I've been sort of hitting January, but hey, the recent high was very dynamic, and the S&P watching it, and it's taken a hit, and now we'll see what happens. But the degree of speculation out there in the stock markets has been absolutely unrestrained. It's like risk isn't considered. It's just, and I'm sure there's many of the public in the market who, and that's what happens, unfortunately. The public doesn't come in and buy the terrible bottoms. It gets in there and buys the wonderful highs, and then ends up stuck with it. So we'll see how this one works. But let's note again, there's a lot of exuberance clocked on the upside.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. headline from the Financial Times: Trump's team aims to bankrupt Iran.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I saw the other day that the Biden administration just gave some money or credits or was allowing Iran to export oil or something like that. So, the Democrat Biden administration is giving permission, so to speak, to Iran, which is the author of terrorism in the Middle East, and at the same time, it funds Israel. With the Trump, the change to Trump thing, there's no way that Iran is going to be encouraged to be the troublemaker in that region.
From the National Post, Trump re-election won't affect Canadian Liberal government's climate strategy.
No, in Canada, the climate strategy will be eventually come from the grassroots, and Trudeau will be forced out of office, and a committee of bureaucrats with your tax money can set the temperature of the nearest planet has got to be one of the most fanciful promotions in history. I mean, it is absolutely insane, and they're also dead wrong. CO2 in the atmosphere has nothing to do with setting climate change. That's set by orbital mechanics, and we're actually, geologically speaking, and actually, as you know, Jim, that's my trade. I'm a geologist. Geologically speaking, at 400 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere, it is low, unusually low, and not so long ago, like 500 million years ago, it was up around 7,000 parts per million. And but now, here's the killer. If the CO2 atmospheric gets down towards 150 parts per million, then life as we know it on this planet will shut down. So these busybodies in climate want to reduce the atmospheric concentration of CO2, and they don't have a clue what the hell they're going on about. So, CO2 at 400 parts per million is on the low side of the spectrum.
Now, the Trudeau government plans to bribe Canadians, gift them a break on the GST over the between Christmas and February. Take the goods and services tax off Christmas trees, toys, snacks, meals, beer, and wine for a couple of months.
They had to label it all, and they're going to send a check because the bounty comes from government, whereas leader of the opposition, Polyev's suggestion was just cut the goods and services tax. You just cut it, and you don't send out checks or anything. You just cut the taxation, but of course, liberals being liberals, they have to do everything, and including sending out checks, when just a cut would be fine.
But well, yes, $250 cuts to families making less than $150,000 a year sometime in February, I believe.
Yeah, March. They got all kinds of rules on it, and they're just making an insane mess of it. But Trudeau's polls are down to something like 21 or 22% approval, and the Liberal Party itself is barely above the NDP party, which is your traditional socialist party. And, of course, you got a new leader of the opposition, Pierre Poilievre, he's the most attractive conservative leader since Ronald Reagan. Now, this also, we should note that Donald Trump is something else again. You can't include him with Poilievre and Reagan. But Reagan did a very fine job when he last got in office. And the liberals in the U.S. and the Democrats were all fearful that he was going to do something awful, but they now look back on him as fine. So here we are. I think Trudeau and the liberals, They are in office until late in 2025, but they may fail before then. But now we're getting to Christmas. I don't see it there, but maybe an election in the new year, and that would more than likely provide a small C and a large C conservative majority.
One hangover from Ronald Reagan, though, is he fired all the air traffic controllers when they went on strike, and they still have a shortage of air traffic controllers. They're warning Americans who plan to travel for Thanksgiving to check their flights because they might be delayed or canceled.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a whole system out there that's trying to put its elbows out and build its power and authority and persuasion, and quite likely the air traffic controllers have never, ever got over that shutdown. But, of course, they had all kinds of military people to take over and kept all the flights going. So.
Restart of Three Mile Island tests U.S. appetite for atomic power revival. From the Financial Times, isn't it Microsoft who's doing that to help power their AI?
I think it was, yeah. But the main thing about Three Mile Island is that it was the older type of nuclear power thing, and somehow they'd had a tiny little leak of steam that might have had a little radioactivity with it, and that's all it took to shut the whole thing down. But now, since then, they've been able to build more modular type nuclear electrical generation units so that you don't have to build a huge one with a pressure dome and all that sort of stuff. And you can build them closer to where you need them so you don't have thousands of miles of power lines going along the countryside. And I think this will happen. In electrical power, the key is to have a very dense source of power. And I'll tell you that nuclear is a very dense source of power. The trick is to control it, and with the new modular plants, they have had that. But the Americans have had nuclear submarines since the 1960s, and nuclear-powered aircraft carriers, and so it works, and it can continue to work. And I think the superstitions about nuclear power are just going to get trashed, and so we can go to very tight modular units, add them as you need them. They're not a far away. It'll save hundreds of miles of electrical power lines going through the countryside.
Moody's downgrades Mexican government's outlook to negative.
Oh, yeah. Now, that type of headline about downgrades don't get widely circulated in the media, but they're very important. So Moody's, the credit rating agency, has done it. They've downgraded Mexican debt, and that is a warning to the Mexican government. Get your house in order, and I doubt that they will.
Ontario Premier Doug Ford is suggesting that Canada and the U.S. form their own free trade pact, excluding Mexico, because he feels, and a lot of other pundits do as well, that Mexico is a gateway for China to bring their goods into the U.S. and Canada without paying tariffs on it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Is that a good suggestion on the part of Mr. Ford?
Oh, yeah. No, that's practical.
I've also heard that even happening from the Trudeau government, which would make it rare for people from the right and left to agree in Canada.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Now, from Reuters, Fed's Schmidt says it's uncertain how far rates could fall.
Yeah, I put that one in because there's an incredible intuition at work when it comes to short rates, such as T-bills. And I just fall back on the old recipe, been around for 1,000 years or so, that in a boom, short rates go up, and that is good. And in a bust, short rates go down, and that is bad. And we've got a chart here of the S&P against the 3-month treasury bill rate. And when the T-bill rate's going down, so is the S&P. And at certain portions of the chart, there are times when the S&P is plunging. And guess what? The 3-month treasury bill rate is plunging at the same time. So short rates falling is very bad. But here it also accentuates the falsity of central banking, because then the central bank, in trying to look in charge, they'll start the Fed cuts. But there, as this is sensed by the market, there'll be stock markets out, pundits out there say, oh, the Fed's going to cut. This is wonderful for the stock market. I got one from September 2007 by a strategist with Harris Bank and Trust or something in the States, and it was effectively that. And it was not only would the Fed cuts help the market, but it would certainly help the market. So this one is intuition, and it is just dead wrong. The worst thing that can happen is T-bill rates going down.
Headline, U.S. single-family housing starts tumble in October. Also in Canada, the two most expensive markets, BC and Ontario, home building starts have also slowed. A bad sign for people looking for affordable housing?
Well, it's the business cycle, and you've had a housing boom, and then you had the prices going up in Canada, but for the in Vancouver, but for the last year, the price of regular houses has been going down. So, yeah, and I remember 1980, yeah, on the North Shore in Vancouver, up in British Properties, which is sort of expense account living, and the price there reached as high in 1980, and that was when crude oil was up to 147 and stuff like that, and then they came down. And they fell to one-third of the high. Now, that I kept track also because the Financial Post in Toronto wrote about a grand estate in Toronto that was seized because the promoter, a stock promoter guy, went broke. And the Financial Post wrote it up maybe every 6 to 9 months, something like that, because the trust company was trying to unwind everything. And by the time they were able to get off the property, it was at one-third of the high. So there you are. prices, even in Vancouver for homes, they can get whipsawed around. And when they head down, it can be just as drastic as anywhere else.
Now, these headlines are tied together. Natural gas price in U.S. Northwest and Western Canada at record lows. National average fuel price nearing 3-year low. And we also have oil holds near 7-week low. So low prices for energy.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Especially the natural gas side. As a matter of fact, I got my gas fireplace going in the living room this morning. And I thought, hey, whatever I'm paying, it's got to be relatively cheap. So, but I'm not being extravagant with it. It's just so pleasant in the living room to have that gas fireplace on. Very nice.
And our final headline from the Wall Street Journal: investors are betting on a market melt up. Nothing melts up. I just find it's whoever came up with that term, probably AI, because of the law of thermodynamics. When things melt, they drip down.
I think melt up has been around for maybe a decade anyways.
I thought a melt up was when you used to put melted cheese on your tuna. That's a melt up. but anyway, so we talked about it, I think, at the start of the show, investors betting on a market melt up. How long can this enthusiasm hold up, or is there always a point, just like an airplane climbing, you stall out?
Yeah, I mentioned, Jim, the seasonal, where you can have a rally into January. So we'll just see how this one works out. And then if you have a smart rally into January, then the question is, how nasty is going to be the correction, or is it the start of something serious? Quite likely, the best of the bull market for stocks is in which case a bear market could soon be identified, and it'd be a severe bear market. As I said, you don't want to be long stocks when they're going down, and we have the 3 to 4 year good grade corporate portfolio.
Now, I know you're not a big fan of electric vehicles. Northvolt has asked for bankruptcy protection in Europe and in the U.S. However, it says it's still going to continue building its battery plant in Quebec after getting hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars to build it.
Oh, yeah, and then I think Trudeau also gave some foreigners a bunch of money to build something in Manitoba. I recall a headline about that. So, and if I'm telling you, if government thinks it's a sure thing, it's over. They just cannot choose well. And the amount of money that's being wasted, both by governments and also by even Mercedes, and now the head of Ford, I haven't got the headline in front of me, but a week or so ago, she just said that EVs, it was a mistake for them to get into them. Well, this is what we've been railing about for the last couple of years, that they were, one, they don't have a tailpipe, so people thought, oh, they're pure. But the amount of very strange elements and compounds that go into making them, it messes up the environment. And they're expensive, and then the electric batteries are, you know, fine when household power was low, and the imagination was that you, of course, parked and you could plug your car in, and now people, they might live in apartments where they got to park on the street, and can you imagine the power cord going across the street and into your car? Forget about it. So they're being discovered to be very practical, but what I consider, and the reports show it, is they are bombs. They blow up all on their own because you're dealing with lithium-compounded electrical cells, and you just have to have a little air in manufacturing those, and you have a bit of a circuit in there, and then also you have dendritic growth in circuits, and eventually somebody shorts out. So even without damage to the battery unit, they can blow up. And then if you damage one, like scrape one or ding one in a modest collision, they got to be scrapped, and it might cost you $25,000. So while it was a great promotion while it was on, the electric vehicle thing is definitely over. And you're following Hertz, the rental people. Oh, they got on the bandwagon. This was wonderful. And then they're finding that their customers, in turn, really don't want an electric car. They want to have a gasoline engine car. So this is all going to go into the trash can of history.
Also, Teslas are really hard to get out of in an emergency. I was in a Tesla taxi in Kelowna. I had no idea how to get out the back door. The driver had to do something elaborate to pop the door open.
Oh, yeah.
And we just had that tragic fire in Toronto where I think 4 people burned to death, and another person who was pulled out the window because they couldn't get the door open survived but was horribly burned.
Yeah, I saw that.
They have to have some kind of emergency release that's well marked for people to get out, because there is no door handle.
No.
So how the hell do you get out? It's a flaw. It's a design flaw.
Vehicles, and I'm thinking about I don't drive too far, Jim. Just up to the little shopping center and this and that and the other thing, and then down to my daughter's. So I'm thinking of getting about a 1970 Morris Minor 4-door sedan. And who cares? 4-cylinder engine, get it well-tuned. And I had a Morris Minor convertible years ago when I was at university, and I called it Old 44 because it gave 44 miles to the gallon. on the highway. And also, I think that I averaged 40, when my parents were then living in Kamloops, I think I averaged 44 miles per gallon. So somehow, the 44 remains in my mind.
And before we go, Bob, happy birthday.
Thank you, Jim. Look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.